Okay, so this is looking again at user input. And again, if I run, whoops. Yeah, what have I done to myself here? The name is irrelevant. And then I say click here, and it comes up and asks me for the hours worked. So 40 hours, $40 an hour, and I come up with the 1600. So I didn't type this information on the form. The input box came up and asked me for it. And then I did the calculation, and I put the answer out on the form, but I also put it up with the message box. Okay. This one I could have just as easily as not put boxes on the form for people to enter in. Okay, because I don't have a loop. Now, if I wanted to do this for multiple people and do it multiple times, then I have a problem because I need to be able to enter information. And when I run a loop, stuff that is on the input box, I can't change fast enough for the next round in the loop. I just can't change it fast enough. Okay? It's going to go too fast. So, if I have a loop and I want to take in work from multiple people, then what I need to do is use this input box. Because both the input box and the message box stop processing. So again, if I run this, okay, when I run this, as soon as I click on click here, it comes up. Now, I can go get a cup of coffee, and when I come back, it's still going to be there. So the input box and the message box stop processing and wait for user input. So if I have a loop and I want to process for multiple people, okay, then I don't have time to go to the form and type it in. Okay, I don't have time to go to this form and type in the information. But I do have time when I have an input box, because an input box stops processing. So I put in the hours worked, I put in the pay per hour, and it goes and does the calculation. And now everything is waiting until I hit the okay on this, and then I'm done. So both the message box and the input box halt processing while the user can do something. Okay? So, now I want to go and I am going to look at another loop. So I'm going to say file close solution. And I'm going to say file open. And this time I'm going to go to the next VB, and I'm going to choose the VB loops. It says Pro VB loops. So if you go to the one that's called Next VB, it has two programs in it, and I'm looking at the one that says Pro VB loops. Going to look at the while, the do while that I have up here. And let's say if you're running this program, okay, I have an amount and I am am entering the amount, and then I am saying, while actually, I'm not sure what I'm saying there. I've got a text total, and I want to do this X number of times. Okay, so I'm adding, and I'm going to do it. So do while text total is greater than zero. So I'm going to put 1,000 in there. And it just goes through, and it subtracts 100 from that every time, and goes through the loop multiple times. Okay. But if I wanted to subtract a different amount every time, I couldn't do that because the text amount has an amount in it, and I'm subtracting that from the total, and I'm doing it until I hit zero or a negative number. But if I wanted to do it and then subtract a different number every time, I can't do it by having that box. That box subtracts 100 every time. What I can do is I can put in an input box. And if I put in an input box in here, then it would not use text amount. It would use the input box. And it would stop every time as I went through and let me put in an amount. So if in my code here, I had an input box, and they put something into the input box, then it would work every time. Okay? So what I want to do is actually I think I want to go back and look at the input one again. But the input box has signed something to an answer. So I say, for example, I am going to dim amount work or something like that. And I dim amount work as an integer. And then instead of subtracting that, I want to subtract amount work. Okay? I want to subtract amount work as opposed to something that was on the form. So that would mean that I would need to put in the input box here. Okay? And the input box would come in and put something into amount work. So I would be saying amount work equals input box. So amount work equals whatever I put into the input box. And so when it did the subtraction, it would now subtract amount work from the total as opposed to subtracting the 100 over and over and over again from the total. It would let me put in a number that I wanted to subtract. Okay? And I will keep doing this loop while text total dot text is greater than zero. And then I will stop. But if I want different numbers, I can put it in and say amount work here. I can say amount work equals input box. And then I can put the names of the things that I want on the input box there. And so it will take in the amount and put it in the input box. Okay? So the user will see the input box come in.
They'll type in a number, that number becomes amount work, and then I can subtract amount work from the total.
So when I need to be able to subtract different amounts, I can do it with the input box, because the input box stops processing, lets me type in a number. Okay, but if I wanted a different number the way I originally wrote it, this amount, I can't change fast enough, because it's going through the loop at nanosecond rate, and I can't type in fast enough to change it. Okay, so I can't make a change. So I need to have an input box. And the input box stops processing and gives me some time to do it. So try doing this. Go in and change this program so that the do while will use the input box. Okay? So try changing this program.
Thank you.
Okay, that's what I've got up there.
So compare that to what you did. Basically, I could have taken a mount off the form. I didn't bother.
But I set off a mount word as an integer. And down here I set a mount word equals input box. And get a mount and prompt are two things that will be on the input box. And then I said, take the total, subtract the amount work from it, and put it back in total. And I keep doing that as long as it's greater than zero.
Okay, so if I run this, and I put in nothing in amount, because I'm not using amount anymore, so I just put something in total. And then I click the while button, and it comes up and says get amount. Okay?
So prompt was the thing that went over here, and get amount went in right there. So that told me what I wanted to get.
Okay? And I put in, let's say, 400. And so I say, okay. And notice the total is now done down to 600. When I was using it with amount, I didn't see total decrease. I just saw the zero that came up at the end. Because it was so fast, I couldn't see it going from 1,000 to 900, 800 to 700. But here, because I'm stopping, I can see it subtracted the 400 from the 1,000. And now it's down to 600. And if I put in 300 again this time, okay, it will go down to 300 because I've now subtracted 300. And if I put in 300 again, it is now zero and the loop has stopped. So I just kept subtracting. And I did it while hex total was greater than zero. As soon as it hit zero or a negative number, I would stop. Okay? So this stopped things so that I could enter in specific things that I wanted to do. Okay? As opposed to when I put the amount here, it just kept subtracting it. And I never saw anything until it was done because it was too fast. You know, I can't catch that subtraction of going 1,900, 800, 700. That's what it was doing, but I can't see it. Okay? And so this way now I get to put in the data and it works. The other thing I wanted to point out again is the difference between these two loops. The do while is talking about what will keep me in. So the do while is talking about what will keep me doing the loop. Keep me doing the loop. Do while text total dot text is greater than zero. But if you look at the end, the until rather, the until tests what gets me out. The while tests what keeps me in. Stay in this loop while text total dot text is greater than zero. with the until, I'm saying do this until the text total is less than or equal to zero. So that's what gets me out. Do it until. This is what gets me out. This is what keeps me out. And it's just a different way of phrasing it. One says, I want to keep doing this until it's greater than zero. I mean, while it's greater than zero. And the other one says, I want to get out when it's less than or equal to zero, when it's dropped down to there. Okay. Questions? Okay. The next one I want to look at is the read and the write. Okay. And why is it not letting me clear the ink? There we go. Okay, so I want to do a file open, and I want to open the one that I think I said, Project Write Text. So I'm saying open Project Write Text. Okay, now, this is purposefully an old way of doing it. They have modified the read-write such that it's a pain in the neck, hard to work with, and more information than you need to have. So we're doing the very simple version. Okay, so this is, I want to write a file. And this is just super important because, in fact, when you're working with Visual Basic or C++ or any of the languages, what you're doing is processing data. And if you're processing data, then you really want to put the data up on a file. Okay? And you want to keep it up on a file. So processing data means saving data, getting it out on a file so that I can use it again. Okay? Because that's what it's all about. My inventory is on a file. My payroll is on a file. If I'm doing anything, it's being kept on a file. Okay? So writing to a file and then reading from that file is an important thing to be able to do. So the write here, okay, starts out, and the first thing I have to do is I have to determine where I'm going to put the file. So I'm going to write it on, and I've got up there the J drive, student17.txt. Well, I don't have the J drive here. If I go back and look, I've got an E drive, I believe, and an F drive. So I'm going to say I'm going to put it on the E drive. Okay? And I'm going to call this a text file, and I'm going to write it. Now, this is just a, basically a copy line. Copy and paste that line. Okay? With the exception of the word data write. But my computer .filesystems.write all text, I wouldn't bother to memorize that. I don't bother to memorize it. It's a copy and paste. It's something that I have to put up there when I want to write the file. So when the button write comes, when I click on the button write, I go in and I write the file. Now, the way I'm writing this file is I first set up what I want to write. And I set it up and it says, dim data write as a string of data. This is what I want to write. And I'm saying I want to write the text ID number dot text. And I want to concatenate that with a comma. So in other words, I'm putting a comma in to separate my fields. Okay? And then I want to write the text name.txt, and I'm putting in a comma. And then I want to write text major.txt. And then I'm putting in dbcrlf, which is basically saying move down to the next line. That's Visual Basic Control Line Feed. So that means go down to the next line. Okay, so that each record is going to be written on a separate line. And the fields all have commas separated. So then when I'm ready to write, I say, mycomputer.filesystem, write all text on the E drive, and I'm calling it student17.txt. Yours has something else on it, I think. I had changed this. But yours has a different address. But the point is, you have to put an address that makes sense. Okay? So this is an address that I have an E drive, and I want to make it student17.txt. Okay? And I may have a copy of that out there already, so I'm going to call it, I think, stewf17.txt, okay? And so that will be the name that I'm going to write. And what I want to write meets this. I want to write the text ID, comma, text name, comma, text major, line feed. So that's what I want to write. After I write it, I am doing the clear function to clear the ID number, the clear function to clear the name, the clear function to clear the major, and then I'm setting the focus on the ID. So that means I'm putting the cursor on it, so I'm ready to enter another one. Okay. So this will write out a file, and as I said, they have made it far more complicated now. This goes back a few generations, but it still works. And it is a lot more straightforward than the way they're doing it now. So I'm going to enter an ID of 123, and I'm going to enter Susan Ash, and I'm saying CI, and I'm saying write. Okay, and notice as soon as I said write, we hope that it wrote it, but we can see that it cleared the three boxes and put the focus on the ID number. Okay, so I cleared the three boxes, so now I'm going to have 234, Steve French, and CI major, and I'm saying write. Okay, and then 456, John Costa, major CI, write. Okay, so I'm writing, and presumably I've now created three records. Okay, and so now I'm going to hit the end, and I've ended it. Okay, so I wrote this on my E drive. Okay, so if I go in and take a look at my E drive, okay, so I'm going to go in and look at my E drive, and I call this stew17f17, there it is, and there is the result. Okay, so there's the file that I created. It's got the ID number, comma, the name, comma, CI, and then it moves down to the next line, and the next record, and then the next record. Okay? So I have now created a file. Okay. So take a minute, do the same thing I did, change the fields a little bit so that you're changing the form so they come in with three different fields or something. So change it a little bit, but do the same thing that I did. So you might make it, you know, make an inventory thing and, or something like that, but try to change these names both on the form and here so that you kind of are forcing it to do something. So basically make this program your own. And run it and see if you create a file. Call Peter Wright could be called any name. This is just the name that I give the people. Okay, so if I have three different text boxes, I have to put the names of the text boxes in, and then I can write it.
Realistically, the BB RLF and
Oh, wait a minute. This is what I referred to wrong. No, that just moves down to the next line. Okay. I heard you wrong. I realized that.
I do that.
It's the file system. That's right. Has anybody got some output? So you've now created, you've written a program that will create a file, okay? And that file can then be maintained, it can be read, it can be, and we're only looking at reading it, but there are ways that you can update it and everything else, so you can write programs to make changes to it, to change a record so that it says something different, and how to delete a record and all of that. We're just simply reading and writing the file right now. But there is the ability to do all of that kind of stuff. Okay? So, that's the write. And now I'm going to close the solution and I'm going to open the read one. So I'm opening the project solution that says read project. Okay. So this is the one that is going to read the project. So the first thing I need to do is I need to make sure that the dim my reader, and that is, I put up here, dim my reader, and the rest is just copy. And then I said, I want to read that file I just created. Well, I created the file on the E drive, and I called it stewf17.txt. So I have to change this so that the file I wrote, which was stew17.txt, and I wrote it on the E drive, is now what I'm reading. So I have to give it the address that I wrote to so that I can then read from that file. Okay, otherwise I'm not going to find the file and it's going to say I can't find it. Okay? So I changed that address, and as soon as I change the address, I can test this, and then we'll look at what it's doing. But if I say start, and then I click read, it's now read the first record, and that was indeed the first record that I wrote out there. So I read the first record. Then if I click read again, I read the second record. And then if I click read again, I read the third record. And I only put three out there, so if I read again, it comes up with a message that I put in that says end of file reached. So it comes up with that message to tell me that I have reached end of file. There are no more records out there. Okay. So, the first thing that I do on this, as I said, is make sure that the address is the same. Okay, and now I'm going to look at the code that I put in there. So I am defining something that I call current row as a string. And the current row is simply the record that I have just, that I'm reading. It's the current record. And I'm saying here, if not my reader, end of data. Okay, so my reader is what I define up here.
and I'm now saying it's not an end of data on my reader. My reader is associated with this file. So I'm saying if it's not end of data, okay, so if it's not end of data, I will process. If it is end of data, I will take the else and I put up the label that said end of file reached. I had a label one field up there with nothing in it, and I then moved end of file reach into the end of to the label one so that it would show up. Okay, if there is data, then I say, okay, on my reader, which is E drive, that's the file, read fields and put them into current row. So it reads a record and puts it into current row. Now remember, I set up a delimiter. So before we look at the rest, on form read load, when I loaded the form, I told it there was a delimiter and that the delimiter was a comma. That means that it now knows that I used a comma to separate fields. Let's say that in the right one I'd used a slash between the fields. Then I'd be setting the delimiter here as a slash because I'm telling it there would be a slash between fields. Okay, so I'm telling it what is going to be between the fields and how it can differentiate the first field from the second field. And I'm telling it that the delimiter is going to be a comma. So again, this is a copy and paste. The only thing I change is if I use a different thing as the delimiter, I would now have to tell it that it's not a comma, it's a number sign, or whatever it is I use as a delimiter. But comma is the usual one. So I, as long as it wasn't end of data, I took and put the record in the current row. And then I said, okay, current row zero, meaning the first field. Behind the scenes, Visual Basic made an array. And the array had whatever was in the text ID, whatever was in the text name, whatever was in the text major. And so it had 1, 2, 3, Susan Ash, and CI. And that was, the 0 was for the first field, 1 and 2. Okay? So current row has 3 fields on it, the 0, 1, the 1 and the 2. They are all separate fields. Okay, so it has the 0, the 1, and the 2. So it said, okay, looking at this current row, I'm going to take the first field, the 0 field, and move it to text ID. So 123 went to text ID. So 123 went to text ID. Susan Ash is the second one, it went there, and CI was the third one, and it went to text major. Okay? So I said, go to the current row, take everything before the first comma, and move it to text ID. Take everything after the first comma, before the second comma, move it to text name, and take everything after the second comma, and move it to CI. Okay? So again, yeah. If you what? I don't know what happens, but it will give you an error. If I told it there was no delimiters, then I suspect everything would be 0.
That's what I suspect would happen. But I'm not sure I've ever made that mistake.
I wouldn't necessarily print everything out.
No, I suspect it would be the zero if I didn't tell her what the dual number was.
Oh, you're defined index.
What?
I'm defined index, probably.
Yeah, okay. As far as I, if I didn't take the delay, I'm not sure that it wouldn't just include the commas and the data. That would be the other possibility. But he's right, you can get an undefined index on it or whatever. Okay, so that's how you read. So now go back and try fixing up mine to read the one you created a few minutes ago. Okay, so try fixing it so that you can now read that file. And again, I'd modify my program because there's a lot of copy and paste involved here. Okay, so you're really just changing the address, changing these to the names that you've used. I'm assuming you did a comma as a delimiter. So it's basically a lot of just go in and modify mine as opposed to trying to write something new. No, it's printed in the label that I set up on the form. So if you look at my form, you really can't tell where it is.
Yeah.
But if you come over here and click on label one, okay, because that lists all the things set up, now you can see where label one is. Label one is over there, and that's what the end of file reached in. Okay? Yeah, if you ever can't find a field, like he just asked about that, I set up a field called label one. And it's where I'm going to write the end of file reach. There's that field called label one. I just put it on the form as a label one. I didn't write anything in it. I just wanted to have it there so I could put a message in it in a little while. Could have used a text box too, but I wanted it kind of to be invisible. So by using a label, it wasn't visible until it was needed, and then its end of file was put there. So it was visible when it was needed. You know, I could have, as I said, put a text box there and put it into the text box. Whenever you want to see all the fields you created, you can come up here right under properties and it will list all the fields that you created. Okay, so you can go and find any one of them. Okay, did anybody get it so they can read their file? I'll give you another couple of minutes, and then we're going to look at if test, which is under next BB. To do is modify mine so it goes to the address that you used, whatever your address was, and then some names change.
Some of you got it working. Anybody have problems?
This will be on the homework too, where you'll have to create one and read and write. And again, I'd use mine as a model and just make modifications to mine. Or keep mine open in a separate window and copy and paste from it. Okay, I'm going to move on to the next thing. This is more of a kind of review of a bunch of different things. So it is called the project if test, and it's on the next BB. So next BB had two things under it. One we already looked at, this is the second one that's under it. That one up if you would. Project if test under next VB. I gave it a name, I told it what type it was, and I gave it an initial value. Okay? So I told it what type it was, and I gave it an initial value. And I can do all that when I define it. And in fact, in VB, I have to tell it what type it is. In JavaScript, I didn't. In JavaScript, it tried to figure it out. But in VB, I have to tell it what type it is when I define a work area. All of the text boxes on your form are type text. But when I define a work area, I can give it a type as I define it. Okay? So that means work diff is available in all of them. Now, if you look down, I also dimmed some things in different paragraphs. And those things are local. Okay? So over here, I defined a lot of things, and these are local. That means they can only be seen by that paragraph. It's local to that paragraph. If you go down a little further and look at the last two, you'll see that I actually define something in both areas. Work total is defined in both areas. Well, this kind of gives me the thought that, gee, maybe I should have just defined it once up in the global area. Okay? It depends on what you're doing, but when you see yourself defining it in a bunch of different areas, then maybe you should consider doing it globally. But this one I just did work total in both areas, and so it's available to both of them. Okay, looking at these two if statements, I'm asking the question, is the text branch equal to Boston? And if the text branch is equal to Boston, then I drop down and I'm asking if the budget is greater than $5,000. And if it is, then I am putting out a message that says meets criteria. If it's not, I'm asking if the budget, if the total rather, is greater than the budget divided by 2. So I've got something about total greater than budget divided by 2. And that's pretty impossible to read, but that's what I'm putting there, is budget divided by 2. And if it is, then again, I meet the criteria. So, if it's not, then I have a do not meet. So it does not meet. Okay. And then the else about my first question also gets me A does not meet. Okay, so this is an example of Boston has to be true. If Boston is not true, it drops right out and does not meet the criteria. If Boston is true, I have one of two chances to then say that it meets the criteria. One chance is the budget greater than 5,000, and the other chance is the work total greater than the budget divided by 2. In either case, I meet the criteria. If both of those are a no, then I do not meet the criteria. Now, because I have the same, I didn't care which one. These are the same. I didn't care which criteria it met, as long as it met one of those. So I had the same message. So that leads me to, I could combine these. And then I look over to the nose, and those are also the same. And so when I look at that, I say this definitely can be combined. Because what I'm saying is, it's got to be Boston in one of these two things. If it's not Boston, it doesn't meet the criteria. If it's not one of those two things, it doesn't meet the criteria. So at that point, I say, okay, I can make this a compound. And I came down and made it a compound and said, if it's equal to Boston, and either of those things are true, then it meets the criteria. Okay, so it meets the criteria either way. So I'm going to make this go away so you can read it a little bit. But essentially what I have there is, if it's Boston and then, and the two criteria are in parentheses, what happens if I take the parentheses out? What happens if I take the parentheses out? How does it get resolved?
Ands before ors.
Pardon?
Ands before ors.
That's right, ands before ors. So the if I take the parentheses out, it's Boston and budget greater than 5,000, or just we're told. Okay? The other thing, as I said, is I've got the same messages. If I had changed one of these messages, then I couldn't make the compound. Okay? The compound would not work unless the messages or the processing is the same. Okay, so that's two ways that I could have set that up. One is with separate ifs, one is with just one compound if. So up here, if you look at how it works, this if goes with that end if and that else. This if goes with that end if and that else. And this if goes with that and that else. Okay, so you are seeing the ifs and the elses going together. This isn't like JavaScript where you'd have the curly braces. This is actually laying it out with an if, else, and end if. I frankly think that's a lot easier. Okay, but nobody asked me when they developed JavaScript. I like the end and the else at the end of written in there. I also like the fact that DB very nicely intends for you. I didn't do that indenting. It did the indenting for me. And by doing the indenting for me, it makes it much easier to read and follow. Okay? So this is one of those things where, with a series of ifs, I think it's a lot easier to work with VB than it was to work with JavaScript. Okay. So this is one of the things that I like about VB. Questions? And then, as I said, up here, I've got a whole series of things that I defined so that I could do calculations one at a time. So I defined word budget and said, I'm going to take the text that comes in and put it in word budget, which will make it an integer, basically. And then I said, the stuff that comes in here, I'm going to put in this work area. So I'm taking things in from the form and putting them in work areas that I've defined as integers. And so then I can go ahead and do calculations with
with those work areas, and they've been defined as integers, and the add works and subtract works, and all of that works. So setting up work areas to hold the data that comes in on the form is one way that programmers work in VB. Questions? Up here, I took and I was working with the text boxes, and I used Val to make sure that it knew it was dealing with the numbers. So using the stuff off the text boxes, I used Val to convert. I can also use cint and cdecimal, which do the conversions as well. Okay. I'm actually done because I wanted to finish up VB today, and we did. You've got a second VB assignment out there, and the assignment is basically, I've given you two problems. I've asked you to set up an array following my array example. I have you reading and writing a program, and I have you debugging a problem. So if you click on that, you'll find one.